Day one of the government shutdown is also day one of the fiscal new year today. But it is not a very happy one in the contracting world. Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. He says you should already be moving on your company's shutdown priorities for the new year.
You know, with current contracts that are in place, contractors have should have done their due diligence to understand what type of funding was under that contract, how the contract is structured. It's really knowing your contract to be able to assess what your next steps are. And many contractors, quite frankly, are going to be focusing on cash flow and assessing their cash flow and making business decisions, if their funds are delayed because of the shutdown and their contracts are funded on annual appropriations. They're going to have to think strategically and make business decisions about, if you're a prime contractor, do I have a critical subcontractor that I need to continue to pay? Because, obviously smaller companies, the cash flow issue gets even more challenging. So do I have to sort of make an investment and continue to pay that contractor to maintain that special expertise I need on the contract? And also they're going to be thinking about paying their employees and how, and the longer that the shutdown goes on, the greater the pain folks across the procurement community will be feeling.
I talked to a leader in the small business community in government contracting over the weekend, Roger, and his comment was that this will affect small businesses exponentially relative to large businesses because they don't have the cash reserves, they don't have the cash flow, and they're essentially, as you say, waiting on payments from their primes, especially, and this is especially pertinent to subs. And so I wonder if you expect to see, maybe if this lasts more than just a couple of days, if you expect to see a lot more fluid environment when it comes to the prime-sub relationship than maybe we're going to see in the next couple of days.
Well, first, I think the comments regarding small businesses are right on the mark, that they don't have the cash reserves. They operate, their margins are, much slimmer. So that it is a, it's like if people, if the economy, sneezes or the procurement system shuts down, small businesses are much more impacted from a fiscal perspective. And I think over time, it's going to, if the longer it goes, the more pain prime contractors are going to feel, and that pain ultimately will start flowing down. It ultimately has to. So hopefully this thing can get resolved quickly, and we can get back to the business of performing contracts, executing contracts that support government missions.
You talked about the decisions that primes will have to make about their relationships with their subs, and part of that fluidity that I alluded to was something that you sparked when you mentioned some of these companies may have to think about doing something with their subs just to kind of help them along, to help keep them in business if they're looking at that kind of a situation. I mean, if you have a small company that's maybe 10, 20, 50 people, and their business is coming primarily from two or three contracts, or maybe even one, that it may be incumbent on that larger company, on that prime, to help this company along somehow. I just wonder if we might see decisions made during this that wouldn't normally be made.
I think that's fair to say, and I think it will boil down to, obviously, we're talking business, right? So it's got there, with regard to that relationship. If you're a prime contractor, you're going to be looking at it from a strategic perspective. And if there's certain capabilities that you acquire through subcontracts, certain expertise that are vital to or are part of your strategic contract that you already got in place or something you're competing for, then, companies there may make decisions on essentially supporting small businesses to maintain that sort of strategic competitive advantage that with regard to the expertise that small business brings. So it is a business decision ultimately, but it's going to be something where the primes focus on, how can I maintain a capability that I need to be more competitive in the marketplace, once this thing is over.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Roger, I wonder if there's a timeline that we can attach to this where we can say, after so many days, that's going to be a tipping point and it's really going to start to make a difference? Or is it going to be different for every single company that does business with the government?
It's going to be different for different companies, and different contracts are obviously funded in different ways. Some contracts, if it's not annual appropriations, if it's a multi-year, you know, there may not be an issue. In some instances, contractors may continue to have to perform contracts because the performance or the mission support is necessary for a government function that is to protect life and property. But there may not be money, so they're going to maybe perform in contracts and ultimately await payment, you know, once the shutdown and, you know, this is resolved. I can't give you a timeline. I can say the longer it goes, the more pain that contractors are going to feel. You know, I actually lived through and was a federal employee during the last shutdown in 95, which I think lasted, you know, like 3 weeks. And, you know, what happens, too, on the flip side, and that was painful for everybody, government and industry. But we also haven't really talked about, you know, contracts that have not been awarded, where people have teams, where the evaluations stop, the award process completely freezes in place, and you get those kind of delays. The longer that kind of delay takes place, it backs things up. And if it's a complex best value procurement and everybody's frozen in place, it takes a while to ramp back up. And time is money. It's money for the contractors who have to maintain their competitive teams. And then it's additional time on the government side to get back up to speed to do the evaluation. So if it does go longer than, you know, a week and gets beyond that, the pain becomes more and more significant.
I want to follow up on that point about ramping back up, because I think that's a very valid one. But it strikes me, you mentioned some of the big contracts, and I was thinking last night, this is rather ironic, that Friday we learned about Eagle 2, 15 companies that are on going to be on the large business part of that contract. And I guess that was a great day for those companies Friday, and then Monday turns out to be a little deflating, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I think overall, in the long run, they'd rather be where they are.
Well, sure. Yeah, I certainly would rather be one of the 15 than one of the others. But the
question there would be, you know, if that's the final set of awardees, you know, the next step would be task order competitions for specific requirements, right? And those would be placed on hold. And maybe, obviously, it takes a while to ramp. Once you award a big contract like that, it takes a while for the government to ramp it up and actually start to execute. So, you know, and actually put out task orders typically. So that gets delayed along that process as well, in terms of the timeline that people probably laid out in their business plans and the government's business plan for executing on that contract as well.
You mentioned, as I said, the idea of ramping back up. I had Sally Katzen, who was at OMB during the last shutdown, on the program yesterday, and Sally talked about that idea that you can't just switch the lights back on. Is it right for contractors to maybe fear that, although agencies understand that's not the case for themselves, that agencies might expect them to be able to just turn right around and jump back in the game again?
You know, that's a great question. That's where communication, you know, I tell contractors all the time and people in the community, you've got to maintain communication to the extent you can, and then a shutdown with your contracting officers beforehand, you know, understanding their expectations, and you communicating to the contracting officer, you know, where you are in this process and what the shutdown means to you. And obviously, from a contractor's perspective, documenting that, you know, that is vital to that process. And there's a flip side to it, too, not just ramping up. We have spent so much time in the government side, you can see the folks planning for the potential shutdown instead of doing, you know, their normal day-to-day operational work. There's a whole process that goes through in this, in terms of, you know, identifying, you know, essential functions, communicating to the contractors, you know, communicating to the employees, you know, stepping through checklists at the various agencies about what next steps are for a shutdown. So there's been a lot of cost and a lot of money spent, and time, federal employee time, just planning for the potential shutdown in advance as well. So it's both get you coming and going.
The communications issue is one of the things you talked about on this week's edition of Off the Shelf. You do that show every week on Federal News Radio, and the programs are archived at federalnewsradio.com. Tell me more about that program and that conversation, Roger.
Yes, we this week we had Beth Farrell. She is a partner at McKenna Long & Aldridge LLP, and she came on the show, and we had a great conversation talking about, you know, the shutdown process. What does it mean? How does it work? What's essential? We also had a great conversation about what contractors need to think about in doing their risk management in this situation. And she provided a checklist. We went down through a set of different steps and analysis that contractors need to go through to manage the risk in this situation, because the delays cost money. How do you document that? What do you communicate to the government about that? What does it mean with regard to your contract performance when the shutdown happens? We walked through all that. It was a great conversation and I think very helpful for the contractor community.
That's Roger Waldron. He's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement.